In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The seed is the word of God. So the sower goes out and scatters that seed, preaching it to the whole world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And it is so. The apostle writes that their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. To us, it's wasteful to scatter something good over something bad. But God loves the world, sent his Son to die in the place of the world, and desires the whole world to know the truth and believe. We know from experience, we think, that it will be ineffective. But the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of men. In our minds, we give up. Whether it's daily reading the scriptures or whether it's sharing the gospel with others, we give up because we see little to no fruit. God continues to preach, understanding that with patience, there will be an abundant harvest. For how can one be saved if they do not hear? And how can they hear unless someone speaks to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth faithful pastors to proclaim that word. The only thing worse than the three types of soil is when the sower stops sowing that seed. Through the prophet Amos, God said, "I will send you a famine of hearing the word of God." So it does happen that people are so obstinate and so hardened, whether as a culture, a community, a congregation, or an individual, that God takes his word away from them. The nation of Israel sent away. Judah exiled. Cathedrals empty. Churches closed. Communities once Christian and vibrant, now anything but, and those Luther lands, the most atheistic, one of the most atheistic places on earth. Men grew complacent with the word of God, and the word was taken away. Pray daily that our merciful Lord would continue to proclaim his gospel, not simply throughout the world, but also here where you gather. You know the vacancies within our own small denomination. Many retired pastors are filling that void, but they too are being called home to glory. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would raise up young men to proclaim that word. Some of you may know what it's like to not have a pastor to call with a question or in times of trouble. A pastor to stand in a pulpit to proclaim that word to you on a full-time basis, to baptize your kids, to marry you, to bury you, to visit you when you are sick, to help you in your hour of need, or to train your children. Pray that God may send forth faithful laborers. What you have right now, pray that all other Christians, yes, even all other people on earth may also have. Don't wait for tomorrow to hear that word of God, for tomorrow may never come. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that Christ sows the seed and proclaims the gospel to you. So perhaps you should view your entire week as a whole. Everything in this week has led up to this moment, that you might sit here and hear the word of God and eat his most holy supper. Or take your whole life as a unit. Your whole life has led you to this moment, hearing and receiving the grace and forgiveness and love of your God. Give thanks to God for this. Don't assume tomorrow or next week will come. Give thanks today and receive his word with gratitude and joy, for the time is lean, and you do not know what tomorrow may hold. Notice that all growth comes from the seed, not from the soil. But all failure comes from the soil, not from the seed. The word of God is the power of God to give life, to create, and to save man alone, because that word is always carried along by the Holy Spirit. Wherever that word is proclaimed, whether from a pulpit or on the lips of the smallest child, there the Holy Spirit is present to create faith, to sustain faith, and to give an abundant harvest. Blessed are those who hear the voice of God in that word. God does not speak to you in premonitions, feelings, ideas, dreams, or somewhere out there in nature. God speaks to you clearly and directly in his word, and he has given you a man to speak that word on a full-time basis for your good. Those who receive the faithful pastor are receiving Christ himself. Those who listen to him are listening to Christ himself. Those who reject him reject Christ himself. Blessed are they who daily take up the scriptures and read and meditate them. You know how to read, not so that you can read the local news or Twitter feed. You know how to read so that way you can read the Bible. Inwardly digest it and learn it. Learn the history. Don't assume that you know the stories that have happened. Read them. Study them. Find the places and the details and the characters involved therein, and learn also the theology embedded in those stories. For if we simply assume that we know what the Bible says, then we have forgotten what the Bible says. See how the Old Testament in types and shadows leads us to Christ. See how the New Testament reveals the reality and the substance that is Christ. Christ lifted up to atone for the world's sins. It will bear fruit in your life. Jesus adds two other little words with the fruit, though. He says, with patience, it will bear fruit. So Mary, the mother of God, did not fully understand why the shepherds came or the song of the angels in Bethlehem. She did not fully comprehend boy Jesus in the temple or even the Magi's visitation. But neither did she write it off and say, well, that must be for the rabbis and the theologians. I'm content just to have Jesus, a simple faith. Mistaking the idea of a simple faith with simple knowledge. Faith is always simple. Knowledge continues to grow and increase. So what did Mary do? She treasured those events in her heart, mulled them over, pondered them, meditated on it again and again and again, because she knew that God had given that word for her good. Perhaps the reason people do not meditate on the scriptures, think it over again and again, is because they find the scriptures boring and find Super Bowls or finances or politics more interesting. Those are the things that often take up one's mind. Believe that God's word never returns to him empty. Believe that it always bears fruit. It may be like the snow that it takes some months before it bears fruit. It may not bear fruit even to 50 years later. But believe that the word of God is good and his promises are sure. It will bear an abundant harvest in your life. So with patience, read, study, and inwardly digest that word. For along with patience is always trust, that you know this word is for your good. That word is not preached in a vacuum. The word is preached to you who live in this world. And so Jesus includes the dangers that are present whenever that word is proclaimed. The story of the sower and the seed is not simply about what happens at conversion. It's the story of what happens every time the word is proclaimed or read. So people can be all four types of soil within a given day or week. Birds, rocks, and weeds threaten. The birds are the devils, the rocks is the fallen world, and the weeds is your own sinful flesh. Pay attention to such dangers, for they will stop at nothing to deprive you of the word of God. How can the devil snatch away the word of God from your heart? He can't physically enter you and strip away that word or make your mind forget what it says. How does he snatch away the word? By false teaching. As men take the scriptures, cut it apart, and paste it back together to make it say what they want it to say. To us, it seems obvious that women can't be pastors, that baptism saves, that communion is our Lord's very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. To us, it seems obvious that the way of salvation is through faith in Christ alone, yet how many people don't understand even that? In one ear, out the other. Preconceived notions when reading the Word of God. So those who do not understand the scriptures and continue to grow in their knowledge of them will end up becoming deceived by the deceiver. We know that God is love. Now all of a sudden that means we accept and tolerate people and never call them to repentance and faith. And so once faithful churches who taught God's word diligently have fallen into great error. How does that happen? And how do we prevent this congregation from suffering the same fate 5, 10, 20 years from now? Because men failed to learn the doctrine. And when I mean men, I mean the males. The husbands and the fathers stopped caring about theology and studying doctrine to make sure what is preached and taught is in accordance with the word of God. They failed. And so their churches failed. The devil is behind every false teaching, appearing as an angel of light to snatch away the word of God. So be sober-minded and watchful. The rock is the fallen world. The seed that fell among them sprouted up quickly. They believe the word of God and understand the doctrine contained therein, but they thought this Christianity would make their lives easier. That friends and family would support them. That for some reason, diseases and cancer and hardship and tragedy and sickness and hospital visits would never enter their life. And when it does, they cry out, "Why are these bad things happening to me? Why is life so hard when I strive to do what God has said?" The rocks of a fallen world that are constantly pressing against the seed. And the pressures from a world, a society, and a culture that beat down on the Christian. God desires that we overcome such things by holding fast to the word of God, enduring and overcoming. But sadly, sometimes faith withers underneath the pressure. Faith gives up and would just rather have peace in the family than to discuss religion. Be watchful and pray. Finally, there are the weeds that arise, and I fear that this is most prevalent among us today. Faith sprouts, doctrine is known. But life is so busy with everything going on, especially in our small neck of the woods. Schedules for ourselves, for our children. Work that we just run out of time in the day. There's not enough hours to get everything done, and so we choose those things that may be most important, and for some reason, the Word of God is not one of those things. And if we do read and meditate upon it, it is simply done, and 10 minutes later we have completely forgotten what we have just read. So the weeds are kids and family and work and money and finances and schedules and governments and cultural affairs, all these things that are good and fine by themselves, but how easily they can crowd out faith in our heart. Those are the things we spend our leisurely time thinking about, not pondering the fact that God is man, because we know that already. Whatever bounces around in your mind are the things that we love. Perhaps we should inculcate within us a love for the Word of God and a daily study and pondering of that word. So watch yourselves closely. Jesus gives us these warnings not so that you can feel bad about yourself, but so that you may recognize the dangers that are there, dangers that are present whenever the word of God is spoken. We have been these different types of soil. And yet God has not removed his word from us. The sower still goes out to sow among us. It is still day. There still is work to be done. And we still have the ability to read and learn the scriptures. So rejoice and thank God. Study, learn, and adhere to that word with great patience, for it will bear an abundant harvest in your life. As Lent approaches, let us renew our devotion to that word of God and our love for that word of God, maybe even cutting out some of the things that are not really necessary in our life. I suggest two ways. One, reading the scriptures daily. And two, memorizing doctrine. And we have a wonderful little booklet called Luther's Small Catechism that helps us in that. Read the scriptures daily, and if you need assistance, I am more than willing to provide something for you and learn the doctrine of scripture clearly. Again, I am more than willing to help you. This isn't about earning salvation. This is about recognizing how salvation is given. This isn't about doing something to become better people. This is about recognizing how God makes us living creatures and brings forth an abundant harvest. The word is our life. Let it also be our love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.